Well, welcome everyone for joining us for another podcast by Prepare for College. Today we're going to talk about commitment dates and the procedure on how you go through with appeal letters and award letters, and to give you an idea of what it would normally be like and what it is this year because it's drastically changed. So I'm going to turn this over to Al Hoffman, and he can start us off, Al.
Well, thank you, Gary, and happy to be here today. This is, I've kind of been saying this to about 100 people here in the last month because it's so messed up this year. But normally, if we were doing the FAFSA in the way it was set in years past, the FAFSA we filed on October 1st, available to be filed on October 1st. Most deadlines for early action, early decision for the FAFSA and CSS profile would have been November 1st of the senior year now. And then the college's admissions application is the same. And then the colleges give you notices come about the middle of December of the senior year. And award letters then come out staggering over January, February, March. April is the last month for the hiring colleges for acceptance letters and award letters. And then May 1, for years, has been National Decision Day. Sprinkled in there, if you were a person that has listened to us, you would probably do an appeal, which would be anywhere from December, when you first get that award letter, to the middle of April. So that would be the normal time frame. Now, I went through that kind of fast, but did I miss something, Gary? I think that's the big picture of what it's supposed to be. Okay. Now let's talk about this year. Okay. So this year, because of the new FAFSA, the Department of Education needed more time for programming. So instead of October 1 of the senior year, their soft launch deadline date was December 31st of the senior year. Now think about it from the college's perspective. So right off the bat, we're 2 months behind schedule. So things are crowded up as it is. I surely wouldn't want to be an admissions officer. I've done some of their workshops where they explain how they do what they do and at conventions and stuff like that. They're really fun to see the perspective of the admissions officer and financial aid department. And they work real hard. There's a lot of applications they got to go through, and they got to figure out who they're going to do and build their freshman class out of. So they're already 2 months behind. But wait, it gets better. So it was supposed to be December 31st start, and then by the end of January 31st, senior year, then the FAFSA was going to be out of soft launch mode and into distributing this to the colleges. The colleges get what they call an ISIR, I-S-I-R. It's the same thing as your FSS. It's the same thing as what you put into the FAFSA. It's all, they're just different things for different responsibilities. So the Department of Education has administration of Title IV money through the colleges, and they use that ISIR to do that. Well, they were supposed to get that ISIR on January 31st, but no. It was postponed till February 15th. Whoop. And then into February. Whoop. And then end of March. and finally, we have seen signs here in the middle of April that they have finally started releasing ISERs to the colleges. Now, think with me. So that means the colleges are November, December, January, February, March, 5 full months and a half of another month behind on schedule. So what does that do? Oh, my God. I can only imagine the pressure of building a class. I would assume they had to bring in some help. I don't know. This is a tough situation for the colleges. Very tough. Some of the colleges then have taken the normal schedule, and now they're pushing it forward. For instance, if you was to go to the National Association of College Admissions Counselors, nacac.net.org, nacac.net.org. There is a list of 490 colleges who have openly proposed that their deadline dates are going to go farther out. In other words, instead of May 1, May 15 for your decision date. Instead of May 15, maybe June 1. Different dates for different colleges. This is exactly what the National Association of College Admissions Counselors did not want to have happen, but obviously because of the stress of the FAFSA for this year, it is happening. Now, this isn't an anomaly. It won't happen again. I'm pretty sure they'll go back to normal for next year. I say pretty sure because I'm not 100% sure. So it's going to be interesting to watch. But I do believe they'll catch up here and get the programming done on the new FAFSA. And wow, it is kind of a mess. However, so what does that mean for this year? Well, that this year means, first of all, when you are able to make corrections, student, you'll get an email from the Department of Education that says your FAFSA is now in process mode. When you get that email, that means you can make changes. Maybe you didn't add all your colleges to the first version transaction of the FAFSA. This year, you were allowed to do 20 colleges. Maybe you had 24. So you did your 20. But you had to wait until this process mode before you could make a correction to add the next four. So if I haven't lost you then, if you're in correction mode, then that means you're also in a mode where the colleges have received your data. Yay. If they have received your data, then they can do what? They can do the award letter. They're not flying blind anymore. Now, there was a group of colleges, and somebody said, well, wait a minute, I got my award letter back in February. What are you saying now? Well, there was one group, about 10%. I mean, there's about 2,400 popular four-year institutions, and 240 of them use the CSS profile. These are the colleges that have endowments, and they do not want to give money out of their endowments to build their freshman class with the FAFSA formula, what they call the federal methodology. So they went with the institutional formula, which is called in financial aid profile or CSS profile, administered by the College Board. That document had everything you needed to do a FAFSA. Well, the FAFSA calculation is open source. It's out there. And so there are 10% of the colleges, let's pick one, Harvard, that it's not abnormal for them. I mean, yes, it is abnormal not to get the FAFSA till now, but they're able to, with the data given to them in the CSS profile, which was due back in November last year, remember? So they're on course, and they're doing things normally, and their national decision day is May 1. You only get 2 weeks away because this is, as we're posting this today. I don't think we have 2 weeks. What is today, Gary? We're on the
we got
21st.
9 days.
Yeah. So a week and a half, and, you know, it's decision time. And decision time is difficult now because we have colleges that are not using the profile that you're waiting to see what they're going to do. So if you're, you know, on the ball here with the what normal counselors would teach, the independent educational consultants out there will tell you 6 to 10 to 12 admissions applications. And you do that because you're not going to get accepted everywhere. Well, and maybe you did, but if you did, then you're still going to have to see what they're going to do, they being colleges in that sentences, what they're going to do to invest in you. And that's your award letter. So I've got award letters from colleges of 10% to higher end colleges. And I've got award letters from tier one colleges that are not the elites higher end, but they are competitive and very good institutions. And they're waiting for the FAFSA. What I would recommend to you, families, if you're in this situation where you want to see the rest of the story from the colleges that are just now getting their award letters out, is that you call the original institution that accepted you. In this case, I used Harvard for my example. and ask them for a 2 or 3 week extension of time to make your decision because you're waiting for other colleges. And price is part of your decision on selecting your college. I don't know for a fact that you'll get it, but I do know in years past, when asked politely, like I just said, that colleges would honor that, give you another 2 weeks. Will they do that this year? I don't know. The chemistry of the whole situation has been all thrown out of whack. It's all wonky, as a friend of mine used to say. So I think that covers the things that we wanted to cover, Gary, kind of the regular and the abnormal. So, but what have you had for some experience? I know you've also dealt with some students as well.
I have, but I think the most important thing I can leave with people right now is if call your college, okay?
Yep, agreed.
Find out, are you doing a commitment of May 1st or have you moved it into May or June? That should be the first call you make, and then you can decide how to go forward from there. So, Al, very
I like your answer. Yours was simpler. I got too much in the weeds. That's a good point. Excellent point. And I think that's the path to take because once you know what they are going to do, they be in the colleges in that sentence again, then you can deliberate your decision as well. But it is your decision. This is your time at bat for college. So call the colleges and enlist their help to help you make that decision as you wait for those award letters because of this disjointed, dysfunctional system this year. Gary, I'm all set.
Al, thank you very much. And to everyone out there, thank you for joining us today. We'll be back again next week on another topic. In the meantime, if you'd like to re-listen to this podcast or any of the others that we've done, you can go to prepareforcollege.com. And that's prepare4college.com. Everyone, have a good week. Take care now. Bye-bye.